This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne and a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life, Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.
Hey, what's up, guys? We're here at the 2017 Forecastle Music Festival. You're tuning into another episode of Redefining the Counterculture. And tonight, we've got a special band for you. We're joined by the one and only Repeat Repeat. Guys, how's it going?
Great. We're having a great time.
Yeah, we are having a blast.
First Forecastle, man. It's amazing.
Very nice. Very nice. How do you guys feel being here tonight?
Oh, privileged.
Yeah, very much so. We played a lot of festivals this year. I think this one is one for the books. We're just having so much fun. It's run really well, and it's awesome.
Very nice. Do you guys prefer festivals over smaller, intimate shows?
A lot of times, yeah. I think it gives us an opportunity to connect with more people, and then when we get to hang out with them, it's an added bonus. Then we get to see them even more than like maybe an intimate show.
I think I like, if we're doing like intimate shows or club dates, I like doing a string of dates, you know, like a couple weeks at a time. But if I had to choose for just like, you know, coming up for the weekend kind of thing, festivals are where it's at. You know, you get to see other bands you love, and you're treated really great, and it's just a blast.
Very nice. So do you guys have any, I guess, pre-show or pre-tour rituals that you do to kind of get the jitters out?
We always do a pre-show huddle, and Jared always gives an inspirational speech. No joke.
He makes us all like hug each other and say I love on the count of three, 1, 2, 3, I love you.
Yeah.
Right after his speech about how it's going to be a great show no matter what happens.
Yeah, some bands pray before they play, but I'd rather just tell everybody in my circle that I love them. So I feel like it's good for us.
Very cool, very cool. So I caught your set today and it was really, really cool. I felt like I was like amongst friends because it was like you made me laugh. There were parts where like I cried a little bit, and then there were parts where I thought I was at like a punk show, and I just wanted to dance. You have been able to just take raw emotion and just put it into your music, and you said some things up there that just really, really moved me. Tell me a little bit about like your background. What got you into music, and are you a person of faith? Do you not have faith? What's going on with that?
I grew up in a very religious household, and a lot of my family, including my parents and my sister and stuff, and my siblings are still. For me, as I got older and kind of moved off, I'm the oldest child of four, I realized educated myself and moved forward in things, I just realized that I had to believe what I needed to believe for myself, and I felt like I was kind of living a lie for most of my childhood and adolescence. And once I decided to just kind of like go with what my heart told me and kind of believe in what I needed to believe in and actually research the things that were being told to me as a kid, I realized that's when I felt more honest with myself than I ever had been before. And sometimes I just have to express that through my music, you know? I think a big part of it is my wife, Kristen. She's a very, like, spiritual person in the sense of, like, just energy and the world around you. And she's very connected. You can sense she's connected with, like people's energy. And that's been a huge influence in me as well. You know, I see that in her very much, you know.
Very cool. So how is it being married and being bandmates? Do you guys ever, like, want to rip each other's hair out and, like, just beat each other down? Or is it always just really cool, all gravy? Or
I mean, I think it helps more than not. Like, I think we always know how – I mean, we're always appreciative that we get to sort of go on this adventure together and not just sort of come home and tell the other one all the things that, you know, happened – which is impossible to do. Like, I think we get to sort of ride the waves together of the highs and the lows, and that helps us a lot. Like, it helps us live, like, a really cohesive, shared life. And I think it's a joy, but I can only speak for myself. I'm probably the more difficult one.
I think if you ask any musician that has a wife or a husband back home, they would love nothing more than to be able to do what they love next to the person they love.
Yeah.
So, there's really... I don't think there's ever a dull moment on the road with us. Like, we have a blast. We get along really well. I don't know. We're just connected.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say.
You can ask Andy.
Yeah, Andy might know better. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. sense these things.
People always pull me aside off interviews, and they'll be like, so how is it? Are they fighting all the time? Is it terrible? But I can honestly say that it is like the easiest. They get along amazing. And we've all been friends before the band, so it feels more like a family just hanging out. It didn't really like form this way, so it works out really good.
What do you guys love most about what you do? I know it's got to be really cool, you know, taking the stage, pretty empowering. What do you love most about what you do?
I think, like, with any art or any, you know, thing that is made, whether it's, you know, something out of wood or music or a painting or a piece of clothing, to see people get it.
Yeah.
I think that's the most exciting thing for me, because when people know the lyrics to your songs, or just show up even, or buy a ticket to your show, or just they're excited to watch you play music. I mean, how silly is it that we're in this silly world where, like, we're up on stage, like, playing an instrument. So I don't ever want to take that for granted. Like, that is the most exciting part, is to watch people be excited about something that I just created out of thin air.
Yeah. Like, today you said the kid that was clapping, you're like,
yeah,
he gets it.
That guy gets it.
Not everybody gets it, you know? I think we're trying to make something, I don't know if it's undefined, but we are trying to make something that is our own. So when people get it, you're like, yes, you get it. You know, you get us, you get what we're trying to do. And, you know, because so many times you go out on the road as a band and, you know, people be like, you should be more like this, or you should sound more like this, or you should try doing this. And, you know, we can only do what we can do.
Yeah. I mean, I would have to agree with you. Like, seeing people get it, whether they're singing or just there, you know, is the most important part, I think, the most exciting part for sure.
Tell me about your newest single. I saw it perform today. I loved it. I had heard it before, but it was different to actually see you guys play it. Tell me a little bit about it. What was the writing process like on it?
Oh, so you're talking about Girlfriend, right? Yeah, so our new single is called Girlfriend. It comes out digitally and available to everybody in a few weeks. It is the lead-in single for our new record called Floral Canyon. And I wanted to write a song originally that kind of sounded like Jeff the Brotherhood, which it sounds nothing like that. But that's what I was kind of going for at first. And I wanted kind of this, like, blasé, melancholy song. But then we threw in Andy's drums, and we kind of polished up the guitars, and it turned into just this own unique thing.
And the Best Coast thing.
And it was my response to Best Coast song Boyfriend. So they have a song called I Wish She Was My Boyfriend, you know, because like that. And it was my response. It's like, won't you be my girlfriend? Okay. So I wanted to kind of write a response song to that. And, and the part about the airport, there's a line about, I'll take you to the airport when you go out of town. Like, nobody likes driving anyone to the airport. That's love.
Yeah.
If you drive somebody to the airport, that means you love that person.
Yeah.
Even whether it's platonically or relationship.
Unless you're driving for Uber, then
that's good. You know what I mean? Then you're getting paid, though.
Then you're just working.
That's good. Right.
Which is okay too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. How has being from Nashville kind of helped to shape and define your style, your sound overall?
Yeah. Well, it has set us apart, although that wasn't really a goal. I think the type of music that we were inevitably going to make based on the three humans that we were is not what's necessarily common in the place that we live geographically. So I think it has helped us, although we didn't set out to do that or we weren't trying to be different. I think it's helped us, and I think, like, the Nashville music community is really supportive, and everyone's just good at, you know, supporting each other. So
they support. Yeah, they support. If you want it, again, kind of going back to it, I mean, it's a weird world when, like our parents, my dad works a 9-to-5, you know what I mean? And he would, like, we are musicians. We, like, travel and play music and stuff. Nashville's, like, so, it caters to that,
like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's concentrated, and, like, you can, like, if you lived in Iowa and were like, I'm going to be a full-time musician, people would be like, are you crazy? But in Nashville, it's, like, celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you can't find a lot of other places.
And you get to, like, it's really cool because you get to work with a lot of your friends, like, so many photographers and other creatives in the Nashville area, and we get to work with all those cool people. You know, I don't know that you have access to that much creativity everywhere.
That's true. That's very, very true.
Yeah.
What was the, how was it, you know, with your newest album coming out in a couple weeks, you said?
Yeah. The single comes out in a couple weeks.
Gotcha.
The record, we can say this, is it comes out September 15th. It's called Floral Canyon.
Very cool. What's the story behind your newest album? What was going on with you guys, just on a personal level and just in your lives when you were creating this album?
The first record, I think, was written when we were falling in love, so it's just a whole album of love songs. Yeah. And in the second album, Jared was sort of ready to explore some other territories, and
yeah.
I was also ready to explore some other territories and have some music that wasn't, you know, just about us. And
we noticed the songs we liked to play the most off the first record and the songs people seemed to like had a little bit more edge to them. So we decided to go in that direction, but each song is a different theme. So there's like a little, there's literally a story from my life that influenced each song on the record. And then we tie it all together with this like 50s drive-in movie kind of like transitions and stuff. It's meant to be played front to back over and over again, and you could play it without stopping, and it would be like a whole, you know, piece.
We tried to make it an experience and not just like, I mean, it's such a singles culture as far as music goes right now, which is great and we get it, but as far as making a record, we didn't want to do that. We wanted to have something that had like a cohesiveness all the way through.
What's on the horizon for you guys? I know that you guys are here at Forecastle today. Do you have any more festivals planned?
Let's see, we do. We have one in so we played Firefly Festival in Delaware, which was awesome. We played South by Southwest this year. That was great. We're heading to Macon, Georgia for a festival called Brag Jam. It's great. Like, Shovels and Rope have played it. I mean, a bunch of big bands, Twin Peaks, stuff like that. So we're going there in a few weeks. Then we're doing, I don't know if it's a festival, but it's like a conference in New Orleans at the House of Blues in August. And then we're out on tour in September in support of our new record.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Never a dull moment.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy fall, for sure. Yeah. I mean, all surrounding the record, it's going to be a busy time. But we're ready for it. We're excited. We've worked really hard, and we're proud.
I suppose maybe if we had more, like, melancholy, darker music, then maybe summer wouldn't be, like, our prime. But this is our busy time of year, so we're nonstop.
Going to wrap it up. I know you guys got to go. But tell me, what is the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from your music? I know that, like you said, you hit on so many things earlier. What do you want people to get from your music when they listen to it?
Okay, so there's an ad I saw for Camel Cigarettes one time. And it said, it was from the 60s, and it said, Camel Cigarettes, they're not for everyone, but then again, they're not trying to be. And I think that's really, like, the most authentic takeaway that you could get from it is, like, you may love our music, you may hate our music, but we're not trying to be for everybody. We're just trying to make music that we're proud of and do something that we're proud of. And we hope that people like it and get it, and you know, and we hope that they want to join us for the adventure.
Very nice. I love it, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're
awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you. Color match. Yeah, I know.
Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne and a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life. Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.